Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your co-host, Chase, here with Jaden.
Hey.
And Manny.
Hello.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about Tomb Raider, volume 0.5 or half, whatever you want to call it. It was released by Top Cow in October 2001. And the creative lineup, written by Dan Jurgens, pencilers Michael Lopez and Eric Basaldua, inkers John Livesay, Marlo Alqueza, Eric Balsadua, colors by Jonathan D. Smith. So overall, kind of the origin of Lara Croft, at least this version of her, I thought it was okay. It wasn't like super detailed, or it wasn't anything that was that really blew me away. But it was, I guess, kind of solid. I didn't really have high expectations. So I guess it was a solid, enjoyable read. What do you guys think?
I did not like it personally. I'm a big fan of Lara Croft or Tomb Raider, and I just felt like the writing really felt flat to me. It's just like the most basic, didn't really do much with it. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah, I wasn't really impressed by it. It seemed kind of like your typical origin story where, you know, you find her in her current action situation, then you go back to her beginnings, and through it all you go through her first encounter of how she became who she was, and at the end you're back at the beginning. And really didn't enjoy the artwork. I don't know, just I don't know, just didn't like it too much, the artwork.
It was a bit cartoony.
Yeah, I think that's my problem with it. It's on page 13, the bottom panel, just to me, it just reminded me of a really bad tattoo. And so that's kind of my overall feel. It's kind of not the worst, but definitely not the greatest either.
So neither one of you guys liked it, huh?
No, not really.
I definitely felt there was room for improvement, but I thought it was okay. Well, let's get the synopsis out of the way, and then we can talk about it a little more. So the issue starts out, we see Lara. She's apparently climbing a mountain covered in ice and snow. Doesn't really seem to be dressed for this extreme environment, I'll say. I mean, she's got on climbing spikes for the ice, but I mean, no parka, you know, thin pants, just right away doesn't seem to be. I mean, at least she's not wearing the shorty shorts and the tank top that she wears in the video game, I guess. And the narration starts out, "I'm Lara Croft. If it's unique or exciting, I go after it no matter where it is, no matter what it takes to get it." So she's climbing this ice mountain. She gets to a certain point. Apparently she knows there's a cave there. She hacks her way through the ice and finds a crown stuck in this little tiny crevice or what have you. And just as she puts it in her pack, a plane flies overhead, firing automatic weapons at her, and she thinks to herself, "At times like these, I almost wish I had become the spoiled brat I was well on my way to being." And we get a flashback back to her days at school in England. One of her teachers is kind of raking her over the coals, saying that she's obviously extremely bright, but she fails to apply herself, and her academic interests seem to extend no further than the latest fashion magazines. And she says she doesn't have time. She's too busy going to parties and cotillions. And the teacher replies that he is supremely confident that Laura's father would be displeased to learn of Laura's behavior, and that she should be aware that because of her abysmal grades, they almost expelled her, to which Laura snarkily replies that, yeah, you considered it, but you didn't, because you bloody well realized that you wouldn't dare, because without me, you wouldn't get my father's money, so you wouldn't have raises, and you wouldn't get the tuition checks and the charitable donation that he provides the school every year. So the teacher shouldn't worry himself, because if there's one thing she's sure about, it's that her future is set. We flash back to current time, Laura trying to evade the plane on page 8. She kind of does a flip from high up, and as she's doing it, she takes off her outer jacket, apparently, so she has even less clothing on. I don't know, it's not real clear there exactly what's going on. But she does manage to land, and we see that, as I said, she's wearing not much clothes. You're climbing up an ice mountain, and we can see your belly. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. She also says she hates losing her safety harness, but she started working without a net a long time ago. Another flashback, and we see that she's working out on some gymnastic equipment, and her personal bodyguard, Compton, tells her father that she's a natural worthy of the Olympics. And he says, thank you, Compton, but I'd never allow Laura to pursue such Neanderthal activities. And as her father leaves, Laura asks if she can go. And Compton says, hush, child, your father would never approve of you having shooting skills, but as your security advisor, I consider it a must. And so, obviously, they're going to target practice. Flash back to modern times. Laura is dual-wielding her pistols as she does in the video game. Leaps from behind cover and manages to hit both the pilot and the co-pilot of this plane that were hunting her, even though they're flying through the air at a very high rate of speed. And then on the bottom of that same page, page 11, we see Laura in profile, and her chest is at least as big as her head. That one really stuck with me. This proportion seems a little off there. We get another flashback, and we see that Laura and Roger and two of their friends are on a plane. We don't know where they're flying, but apparently something's wrong with the plane. The plane crashes. Laura's the only survivor. She says that the three most important people to her in her life were dead, and if she didn't get busy and get out of the plane, she was going to join them. She manages to escape the plane before it explodes. And again, that's the page you were talking about, Manning, where the bottom of 13 looks kind of strange, the layout. I also want to point out the previous page, 12. Why does she look... her skin looks orange.
She looks like Starfire.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how bad the color is there. And also, the pilot, as he's turning around, that doesn't look natural. It looks very... I don't know. Something's wrong with that. It just doesn't look good. Not well rendered. Anyway, the plane explodes. Laura says, I was alone, without food, water, adequate clothing, or the means to communicate with rescuers. I mean, she's wearing next to nothing. She says, I was in trouble, major trouble, the kind that kills you. And again, she's in some, you know, again, Arctic domain. Says she spent weeks fighting, learning how to survive on the go. Every bit of experience I've ever had, from school to gymnastics, simple camping trips, became crucial. I did things I didn't know I was capable of. The Laura Croft who emerged from that ordeal was not the one who boarded the plane. Again, I'm going to complain about the colors on this page. She totally looks like Starfire. It's ridiculous. And it looks, you know, awfully desolate and cold, and she's still wearing next to nothing in these pages. Just find it very unrealistic. Maybe I didn't like the story as much as I thought I did upon going through the synopsis here. She says, even on the 12th day, had I been rescued, I probably would have gone back to England to live the rest of my days in the estate. Fortunately, rescue didn't come. All I wanted was shelter, a place to get out of the elements. I quickly discovered I wasn't the only one with that idea. She enters this cave. She finds a skeleton. She goes through his bag, hoping for food or a weapon or anything else, and she finds this old chalice, an incredibly old and beautifully ornate chalice. I'll never know for sure, but to this day, I don't think it belonged to him. He was a treasure hunter, a seeker of relics. Holding it in my hands, knowing I'd survive to acquire it, was magical. And supposedly, so that one moment of her finding this chalice changes her forever. As I descended the mountain, I made up my mind and knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'd change forever and that I'd be back, just as I know that I'm going home to make things right. And what she means by that is the scene shifts to that old school that she used to be at, and that teacher that was giving her a bad time. And on his desk, he finds that crown that she discovered in the mountains, and a note. It says, "Dear Mr. Bohannon, years ago I wrote a paper regarding King Arthur's legend that you described as inadequate. You are correct. Please know that since then I have seen my mistake for what it was, that my own life experiences have inspired me not only to learn of history but to embrace it. My attitude toward you that day was sadly lacking in respect. I hope this crown, a magnificent piece of history which actually belonged to the great King Arthur himself, will make up for my actions." And a letter signed Elsie Laura Croft. And then there's a text piece in the back. It says a prologue, and it's got a few sketches by Adam Hughes. And it's the text, the story itself is by Adam Hughes. And it talks about her solicitor. Which is a lawyer, is searching for Laura in the jungle. And at the end it says, "Look for Tomb Raider, the Drowned Tomb, written and illustrated by Adam Hughes, coming soon from Top Cow and Image." I don't know if that book ever was released. Did you read the text piece?
No.
No, I didn't either.
It was pretty good, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't finished. So... what did you think about that terrible coloring, Jaden?
Well, I think it's sometimes the skin looks good, and then sometimes it's straight orange. I don't know. I don't think it's well colored at all. I think that the art actually isn't as bad as it really looks, but I feel like the color is not doing it any favors. I feel like it almost makes it worse.
Yeah, Starfire, right? Manny said she looks like Starfire.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, my biggest problem, or if I had a nitpick, that the thing I would say could be improved the most is just fleshed out, you know. So the plane crashes. She's wearing next to nothing. Next to nothing. The plane crashes. Next to nothing. There's like snow and it's desolate, whatever. And she's there for at least 12 days, and it's a page and a half, and it doesn't, you know, show, like, that could be, like, a whole series right there. How did she actually learn to survive? You know, it shows her fighting a wolf and whatever, and she's still wearing next to nothing. She's, like, in water, and she's wearing next to, I mean, it's very unrealistic, number one, and it just, okay, so she'd been camping before, and she knew gymnastics and how to shoot a gun. Well, she didn't have a gun. There's not a lot of uneven bars and parallel bars in the jungle for her to swing around on. I don't know. It just seems very unrealistic to me.
Yeah, and I think that the pacing is just terrible. I mean, when I was reading this and I was like, oh, her parents died and the comic's over. They mashed, like, probably something they could have gotten a lot of story out of, which her trying to survive in this place, they mashed that all into a page and a half because they ran out of room for more story, or I don't know, it fell real flat for me. I really expect more from Dan Jurgens.
Yeah, you know, another thing is this could be just, you know, product of its time. You know, Tomb Raider was a phenomenally successful game at this time. And, you know, Top Cow acquired the license. Hey, you know, the book's selling real well. Let's throw a half issue out there. I mean, I don't even know how this was distributed. I don't know You know, a lot of times the Top Cow half issues were distributed through Wizard. Or Wizard did half issues, or you know, they were giveaways. Could have been a giveaway for a video game or mail-in. So it may have been, hey, we just want to do something special. Let's just kind of throw something together real fast. It gives kind of a quick and dirty origin. So yeah, not the best.
But to defend the outfit choice a little bit, it's kind of just the thing with Tomb Raider is you with Lara Croft is you kind of just leave her in her short shorts and her shirt, even no matter what the weather. It's just kind of how the writing
yeah,
is with her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I remember I did play the first game, and yeah, there was times where she was in snow fighting wolves and stuff, and yeah, she's still out on the shorty shorts and the little sports bra or whatever. And yeah, that's just the way it was, I guess.
Yeah, so I don't know. She just went from being
spoiled little bitch girl,
really protected by her boyfriend and dad, to cheetah practically.
Yeah,
in a matter of 2 pages.
Yeah, to badass treasure hunter girl.
Because I'm sure she took down that wolf. I mean, sure she did.
Well, yeah, she lived.
it just, you know, the only part I like about it was when she finds the goblet or whatever and the chalice, and then that's what, you know, she found a reward to it. That was, you know, that was cool, but that should have been the ending to like a 3-part-ish, you know, if they really wanted to make this good.
But yeah, and from what I just did a quick Google search, and from what I can find, I don't think that Tomb Raider, the Drowned Tomb, that was supposed to be written and illustrated by Adam Hughes, ever got released. Which is
interesting.
Too bad, because it definitely started out pretty strong. So all in all, not a great start, not an auspicious start to the Tomb Raider. I mean, I was excited to read these, and that was pretty mediocre.
Yeah, I would agree.
I haven't personally said much about the art. I think, like, I'll agree with you, Jaden. The coloring is not doing it any favors. I think page 10 for me personally is probably the best page in the book. Looks pretty good. But then page 11, you know, her boobs are just huge, bigger than her head. What page is that? Page 13? Page 12? Page 12, where the pilots turn around, it looks really weird. The blonde guy at the top of the page, he looks weird. Yeah, just layouts or proportions aren't done particularly well. Like you say, Jaden, colors aren't doing it any favors. So, yeah, the art's really not helping out much.
I think that the art wouldn't be that bad on a different type of book, but I feel like Tomb Raider really suits better a realistic type of artist, and yeah, this is super cartoony.
Yeah, sometimes more so than others.
I'll agree with that.
All right, well, thanks everybody for joining us. Hopefully you enjoyed Tomb Raider more than we did, or perhaps you didn't find it, in which case I would say probably can skip it. Don't waste your money. But remember, you can get a hold of us through our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. You can send us an email at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. While you're at our website, you can check out Manny's blog, my YouTube channel, sketch gallery, episodes of the Comic Source podcast, as well as other episodes of the Top Cow Chronology Project. Be sure and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. You can find us on Facebook, just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. Once again, we want to thank everyone for joining us. And join us next time when we'll be covering Tomb Raider Journeys, Issue 1. We'll talk to you then.